Surely we want to turn our eyes upon Jesus today. That's the whole purpose of worshiping together, that we come before him in worship and praise and adoration. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 11 through 15. We begin a sermon series this Sunday on judgment and the rewards in eternity. My idea is, as you've been on the mountain with Jesus, and we learn the believer's attitudes, he sends us into the community to be salt and light. Now, why do we go to the community to be salt and light? We go to the community to be salt and light to represent Jesus because eternity is coming. Judgment is coming. Rewards will be given to the lives of those that are lived in this world as a result of the way they lived in this world. One of those events will be the Great White Throne Judgment, the Great White Throne. And that's what we're looking at today. That will be the first judgment that takes place, the Great White Throne. Revelation 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and the one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. No place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead and dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Father, we pray that you would speak to us today. I pray that you would shake us to the point that we could understand the reality of what John saw on the Isle of Patmos, what Jesus was giving him to give comfort and strength to your people as they face the persecution because they were being salt and light in their communities. Father, give us that same assurance. Give us that same challenge today to understand what's coming and how to prepare in this world, in this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past 2 months, we have reviewed the attitudes our Lord commanded that we live and have in our practices of our daily lives. And when you've been up on the mountain with the Lord Jesus and you've been forever changed, you become an avid disciple of his, willing and working to make more disciples for him. That's our purpose, make more disciples for him. Now, Jesus promised his followers that they would be persecuted just like he was, but he would provide favor and perseverance for others as we illumine and expose them to Jesus. His love, his grace, his mercy would change their lives and give them hope. You know, our culture has developed the attitude that we'll all go to heaven when we die. God is God of love, and he will not hold against us anything. Had an old deacon at Providence Baptist Church in Macedonia, South Carolina, that would tell me often, Mr. Jetty would say, "Tut, tut, preacher, we all go into heaven when we die." Tut, tut, don't know how long you're going to stay. Because the judgment, the reality is, those that are without Jesus Christ will never go to heaven. Those that are with Jesus Christ will not be a part of the Great White Throne Judgment either. The Bible is very clear. There is an eternity, and you will spend eternity in one of two places. Experience in eternity can be very different for those two places and any person that would find themselves there. It's my desire to show that what will be at the end of life will be for those that accept and embrace Jesus Christ as Savior is in great contrast for those that never will ever accept Jesus and will only reject him. We understand a sermon series that will describe judgment and rewards that are available at the end of the life. While I am not a theologian, let me say that again, I am not a theologian and not even a great student of Revelation, the end times that are coming, I want you to see what's going to happen at the end of time. Our first discussion will be about the great white throne. The final judgment will take place. Now, people that do not accept, have not believed in, will not confess Christ, will not dedicate their lives to Him, are those that are going to be found at the great white throne. Standing before God of the creation, every person will stand before God. That's a very sobering thought, folks, that the God of creation will call into account everyone. How do you live your life? How you have served Him, what you have done for others, what your life has been like will be examined in totality, in great detail, even the hidden things. There is that formal review of your life, and every person without Jesus Christ lost will be examined. Every person that have not accepted Jesus will be called into account for their life and how they lived it. Notice that it is a great white throne. The throne is a designation of power and authority. And the one sitting on the throne has the power and authority. The idea of the great judgment hall, and the person with all of the power is going to provide the examination and the judgment from that throne. This is a trial that will occur for all who are there to be exposed and judged. This is not to scare us, it's to prepare us. Most people review Revelation and they seek to determine when the end of time is going to occur. They sit down with today's newspaper, they bring in their charts and their graphs and their Bible, and they attempt to plot the exact time when the end is going to occur. We've seen it. Oh, it may not be as prevalent as it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago, but there are still people that spend an inordinate amount of time trying to pinpoint the time that Jesus is coming back. He said, don't worry about it. Do what I've called you to do. Tell other people about me. I believe Jesus gave John the revelation on the Isle of Patmos as he broke rocks to provide comfort to John and to all of the believers that would read John's letter. The persecution, the evil that was being inflicted upon the believers was not the way it was going to always be. See, Jesus shared, take courage, I'm coming again. While everyone will examine and be judged by their lives, those that are faithful will be rewarded. They're going to receive rewards. Those that have been wicked and never served our Lord will be judged and punished. Do not fear, prepare for His coming. Notice also it's God's final judgment. Christ will soon return and He'll gather the people to Himself, His people to Himself. There are going to be 7 years of tribulation. And then Christ will come and establish His millennial reign. And Christ will have the great white throne judgment and His eternal reign will begin. Notice the courtroom setting. There's no jury. There's no defense lawyer. There's no appeals. There is no escape. The final judgment and those that are being tried have only one destination. Only one place to go, and it's not in heaven. It's not going to take place in heaven. The Bible says earth and heaven fled, so the great white throne is somewhere else. We don't know where. We just know Jesus is there, and everyone that refused to accept Him will be there also. Notice it's an unshakable throne. Then I saw a great white throne and the one seated on it. The throne was great and white. The throne is mentioned nearly 50 times in the book of Revelation. The book is about judgment. It's about the punishment of the wicked and about the reward of the followers of Jesus. The description great describes the authority that surpasses earthly rulers. No one can match the authority and the power. There is no other throne like it. No other final throne. No throne is out there that will match it. Final judgment is going to take place here. And it's come. White is the description. And it symbolizes that this throne is pure and righteous. There is nothing false about it. This throne is going to provide divine judgment, God's judgment. There is no black, no backdoor politics, no bribery, no shenanigans are going to happen there. Jesus is going to announce to you your judgment because you have not accepted and embraced him. The Lion of Judah, that was the Lamb of God, is now the Lion of Judah, has come to judge all people. Jesus will sit in judgment and render the eternal judgment for everyone that is there. Notice that earth and heaven has fled. There's no place to escape or hide. They will talk of longing for heaven and eternity with God. Those that are called before this throne and are judged by this Jesus will seek to escape, but there is no place to hide. No fame, no fortune, no power, no excuse, no self-righteousness will provide for this escape. This judgment is unavoidable. Verse 12, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. All of the dead are present. The dead are those who have died in their trespasses of sin. Those not born again, those that have not been saved by Jesus. Every person who will not follow Jesus will stand before him, great or small, kings or beggars, celebrities, nobodies, rich or poor, famous, forgotten, religious, rebellious, no one will escape. Everyone who have not followed Jesus will appear. Notice he said death and Hades, that's hell, gave up their dead. Death is the grave for those that do not know Jesus, just like us that know Jesus. Death is where the body is placed in the grave. The dead without Jesus go to the grave too. Then hell. We say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The spirit goes to heaven upon our death. Those that are dying without Jesus go to hell in their spirit, awaiting the time of the judgment. The place where the spirit of those who have died without Jesus is Hades or hell. We talk about those who follow of Jesus to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Those that were not, to be absent from the body is to be present with Satan. The bodies of the spirits of those that have died without Jesus will be gathered before him, and they'll be gathered from the grave and hell. And the books are open. Notice the books. Many Bible scholars believe that there are five books that will be used to judge those who are not followers of Jesus. Yep, five of them. Notice, first of all, you can find being the book of conscience, Romans 2:15. They show that the requirements of the law were written on their heart, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. That is, our conscience should tell us about God. That's what Paul said to the church at Rome. When we are not saved and we stand before Jesus, even our conscience is going to be played back before us to show how we sinned against even our own conscience. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. And yet we do it. Our conscience is going to bear witness. Your conscience will judge you. The books of words will be used. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For my words you will be acquitted. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Your words will be. God's recording everything we say. Every curse word, or cuss word as we used to say, Every time you took the Lord's name in vain in a slanderous, empty way. Every OMG is going to be there. Every white lie that you've told is going to be there. Every slanderous word that will be played back for you. Every word you ever said will be written down and played before you when you stand before the great white throne. Your empty words will judge you. The third book is the book of secret works. Romans 2:6. God will repay for each person according to what they have done. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Every secret sin, that sin that no one knows about, that one that is hidden from everybody else, God's going to play out before you to see and remember, for he is recording it, and you will be judged by it. Your actions, hidden actions, will be judged. Then there's the book of public works. The public works, that's in 2 Corinthians 11:15. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to the Father and his glory and his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Judgment will be given to all that you have done before the view of others, as well as the things that were hidden. You may be big and bad and get away with things in this world, but Jesus is going to play every action back and judge you according to it. Public works will judge you. And then there's the book of life. In Exodus 32:32, Now, if you would only forgive their sin, but if not, please erase me from the book that you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will erase from my book. Psalm 69:27, charge them with the crime on top of crime. Do not let them share in your righteousness. Let them be erased from the book of life, not according with the righteousness. For many years, I thought when a person was saved, their name was written in the Lamb's book of life. But I've come to understand that when you're born, many believe when you're conceived, your name is recorded in God's book of life. When a person was born or moved into a city during that time, their name was written in the city's register to say that they were citizens of that city. If you died without accepting Jesus Christ, your name has been blotted out of the book of life. You will be judged by the book of life. Now, if those scholars are wrong and there is that one that is recorded, like I've always heard, when you accept Christ, his name, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Either way, there is a book that God keeps, and it's going to record whether you accept and embrace Jesus or whether you only sinned and rejected God and were blotted out of his book. Judgment is based on works, is what he's saying to us. The dead are judged according to their works. Romans 3:23, for all to sin and fall short of the glory of God. There is absolutely nothing that will make God accept us as righteous, deserving entrance into his kingdom, except the blood of Jesus. You will never be able to match the sinless life Jesus lived. We will always fall short. We will do whatever we want to, but we deserve separation from him for all of eternity if we do not embrace Jesus. We deserve the devil's hell. Now, the question is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Anyone who has their name not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. The book of life. in the book of life are recorded the names of all that have lived, everybody. Any law that was broken will result in the name being blotted out of the book of life. That's separation from God. That happened to Adam and Eve. When they disobeyed God, they were kicked out of God, of Eden. Jesus was predicted. Hell was described. Satan was loosed on this world at that time. But in official documents today, when they're published, if there's information that needs to be hidden or remain hidden, then the idea is that it is redacted. It is covered with black ink. It cannot be read. It cannot be understood or interpreted. And as a result of that, that information continues to be hidden. Well, if you're at the great white throne and your name has been redacted, blotted out, covered, removed from the book of life, there is only one destination. There is only one place that eternity holds for you. And that is eternal separation, the second death. The first death is the physical death. That's when this body dies. The second death has to do with the spirit. That is, the second life is the spiritual life in heaven. The second death is the death that is in hell. That first death is physical. Your heart stops, your lungs no longer function, your body is no longer living, it's forever stopped functioning. It's beginning to dispose of. It's deteriorating. It's rotting. It's going back to ashes, and dust to dust. The second death is eternal separation from God and His children. You will be disposed of or placed in death. Then death and hell will be gathered, and they will be thrown, cast into, disposed of, into the lake of fire. Those not accepting Jesus Christ will be consigned to hell for eternity, the place of everlasting punishment and torment. Jesus describes hell as the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. Mark 9:47. Now, God is not unfair. God does not send people to hell. They choose a life that will earn hell for them. God simply confirms their choice. God is holy and righteous. He has provided a means for us to escape eternal death and hell by simply choosing to accept Jesus and ask Him to forgive our sins. Now, realize what we're saying. People say, if God is a God of love, He's not going to send us to hell. If God is a God of love, He wouldn't let this happen to me. If God is a God of love, and we go through all these explanations of what we expect from God, but the reality is God has plainly told us the way it is. There is a heaven and a hell. There is a judgment that will assign eternity in one of those two places for everyone. We have a choice to make. God is holy and righteous, and He has provided the means for us to escape hell and death simply by choosing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now I want to share, over the last 30 years, in our world and in our culture, the seminary professors and Southern Baptist leaders have embraced what we call Reformed theology. And the problem with that is it agrees with Calvinism. And part of the belief of Calvinism is predestination, that all people are predestined either to go to heaven or to go to hell. And so that's not up to us. That's not our choice. We don't need to be involved in evangelism and sharing and witnessing, telling others about Jesus, because God's already decided that. There are lost people. If they desire to be saved and witness them, then we need to understand that. They believe God has already determined it. No longer has the great emphasis on an evangelism and revival embracing Southern Baptists. We've given up on revivals. People don't come. People not going to come. We've given up on evangelism. People don't want to hear what we have to say about that. So we'll just give it up. Besides, it makes no difference anyway. God's already determined it. You see, we have to realize that that's a lie out of the pit of hell itself. Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:16. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel 2:32. Everyone the Father gives to me will come to me, and the ones who come to me I will never cast out. John 6:37. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. That is, share your faith. Mark them as my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them, mature them as my disciples. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20 is there. All authority is mine. That's your task as my disciple. Friends, if people are going to escape hell, it's going to be through us telling them about Jesus. He gave us the command to tell others about him and about his grace that is available as a result of the cross. God is holy. Sin must be and will be judged. Sin will always separate a person from God. That's the urgency of the gospel. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it's appointed unto people to die once, and after that the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. When Jesus coming back, it's over. There's no more bearing of sin. There's only judgment to come when he comes back. You see, last Sunday I shared with you folks, we sit here Sunday after Sunday and we sing, how we love Jesus, and an average of 32 people a week die in Hall County. And of those 32 people, 22 of them will spend eternity in hell. That happens every week. You look at Georgia, 1,856 people die every week. That means 1,300 people go to hell every week in Georgia. We have to understand a judgment. The great white throne is the final judgment. No more will there be a chance to accept Jesus at that judgment. Death, eternity is sealed. And there's no escape from that punishment where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The gospel is the only hope. Jesus told us to be salt and light after we've been on the mountain with him. And when we come off that mountain being the salt and light, we share the gospel because the great white throne judgment has been promised. He said in Romans 8 that he proved his love to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus endured our judgment so that we could be saved from God's wrath for eternal separation from God. By his stripes we are healed. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, that's the question for us today. How are we going to deal with eternity? Are we ready for eternity? We never know when death's going to come upon us. While some of us face long, agonizing processes that end in death, some die quickly, just like that. Whatever reason, a heart attack, car accident, stroke, you go down the list of any of those things, just like that, we're gone. Eternity is sealed then, no changing. And we don't have the assurance that we can make that decision later on. You see, every time we are presented it and we refuse it, our heart grows harder, our lives grow staler, and we're separated more from God. I've talked to so many people who are caught by the surprise of a sudden death of a loved one. And I've spoken to people who were in their deathbed and could not accept the impending death that was coming. And we always want the assurance they've gone to heaven. Many years ago, pastor at Providence Baptist Church in Macedonia, assistant chief in the Macedonia Fire Department, we had a car wreck one night about 2 o'clock in the morning that we were paged out. Three young guys driving fast through this country little community swerved to miss a car or deer or something. We're never sure what they missed, but they hit a tree. Two of them were killed outright. The third one was trapped in the car, and all we could see was his face and his head. We worked for over an hour to get him out of that car, load him on a helicopter, and send him to Charleston, to the trauma center. The only place we could put an IV was in a vein in his head, and that paramedic liked to never got one in there to begin to put fluids in his body, because we knew he was trapped in this car that was crumpled so bad and we couldn't see anything, he had to be bleeding. So he started pumping fluids in there. On the way to the hospital, he was pronounced dead. 2 days later, a preacher called me. Brother Kaysen, I understand you were at the wreck the other night when so-and-so. I said, yes, I was. Did you get to tell him about Jesus? Did you talk to him about Jesus before he died? Could I tell the church in his funeral tomorrow that you told him about Jesus and he became a believer? And I said, brother, he never gained consciousness. I prayed over him and I prayed over him, but he never gained consciousness. He never said a word. That brother preacher was looking from assurance to me to say that friend, that young guy went to heaven, and I could not give it to him. If he was not a believer, he didn't go to heaven. My question to you today is, your name found in the book of life, does it remain in the book of life, or has it been placed in the book of life, whichever way it goes? You see, your works will not save you. Being a church member will not save you. Baptism, tithing, attending, serving, none of that will save you. There is no good act that you can do that will save you. Being good and moral and doing the right things are not going to save you. Only Jesus can save you. How? You admit that you're a sinner and you need salvation. You believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and he offers to you eternal hope. And you can believe that his death, burial, and resurrection will give you eternal life. And then you confess. You admit to others that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you give him control of every day. And then I say D, you dedicate yourself to discipleship. You want to learn more about Jesus. Just a short time, I'll be 76 years old and I've been studying the Bible since I was 10 years old. And I learn something every day when I read the Bible. You don't have enough of it yet, folks. There's so much more that's out there that you can know and understand about God. Be ready to meet him, but also be able to take people with you when you get to heaven. You see, one of the rewards you will get is because of people that have been saved as a result of your testimony and your witness. But in the meantime, you need to make sure you're going to get there. Do you know him? I hope you don't end up at the great white throne and you're going to be judged there, because the only place that judgment is going to be for people at the great white throne is hell and death, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. It's not a good place, folks. And we have to understand our families, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates, our neighbors, we are accountable to help them escape the great white throne judgment. I hope you will. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to speak to our hearts. Call from us decisions that we need to make today that can determine not only our eternity and the escape of the great white throne judgment, and the eternity of others that we can share our faith with. Call from us decisions today we need to make that can mean an eternal difference in our life, in our family, and in our friends' lives. Call from us commitments that will impact eternity, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.